Imagine turning 30 while working in an industry where youth is the ultimate currency. This is the reality Asa Akira faces as her milestone birthday approaches, triggering not the typical crisis of accomplishing too little, but perhaps too much. Two abortions, jail time, opiate addiction, multiple marriages, and every form of adult entertainment imaginable. Unlike most 30-somethings lamenting unfulfilled dreams, Asa wonders what happens when you've lived such an extreme life that traditional milestones seem almost quaint by comparison. Her anxiety peaks when she discovers she hasn't been nominated for Performer of the Year at the AVN Awards, breaking a 5-year streak. Scrolling through industry news between performances at a Philadelphia club, this professional rejection becomes tangible proof that the industry's appreciation has an expiration date. In a vulnerable moment, she texts her friend who left performing years ago, wondering how much longer she can remain relevant in a world that fetishizes youth above all else. Asa's relationship with desire defines her existence. On a flight home, she receives messages from Keith, a handsome man who became quadriplegic in a skydiving accident at 21. She finds herself fantasizing about intimacy with him, drawn to the unfamiliar experience. When they meet after landing, Keith is surprisingly blunt about his capabilities, even mentioning another adult performer he's been with, despite having a fiance. Later, when Asa tells her husband Tony about the encounter, he immediately guesses her attraction to Keith. His understanding without judgment reminds her how fortunate she is to have found someone who accepts her completely. This pattern of attraction to the unfamiliar appears throughout Asa's life: her fascination with Keith's disability, her experience with leech therapy, or her adventures in various intimate configurations, creating a life rich in stories but emotionally complex to navigate. Most surprising is Asa's detailed plan to eventually end her life with heroin, not from depression, but as a control freak fearing painful or undignified death. She and her best friend Dee refine this plan, intending to implement it around age 75. This unconventional pact, formed after witnessing peers die from overdoses, Chris during senior year, then Kevin, her first love. These experiences shaped her relationship with heroin, saving it as her reward for living fully. Even her typically disapproving mother supports this idea. What elevates this plan beyond morbid fantasy is how it functions as a framework for living. Asa fears not death itself, but dying with regrets. She recalls the panic on OxyContin when she couldn't breathe, fearing death at 21 with no accomplishments. To avoid that panic in her final years, she's determined to do everything beforehand: travel, reconnect with Japanese family, write books, have children, and experience all life offers. This seemingly dark pact serves as her North Star, creating urgency around life goals and motivation for meaningful experiences. Despite having two marriages behind her, Asa's current 4-year relationship with Tony offers insights into unconventional partnerships. Their key arrangement? Separate bedrooms, a decision made after a dramatic fight over dishwasher usage that involved a thrown Buddha statue. After reconciling, they realized they both preferred sleeping alone and chose a house accommodating this need. They spend evenings together like any couple, but retreat to individual spaces at bedtime. This setup provides independence while maintaining intimacy. They greet each morning with excitement rather than resentment over snoring or blanket hogging. Their relationship challenges conventional partnership wisdom by acknowledging individual needs while fostering connection. For Asa, who has experienced dramatic relationship failures, this represents significant growth. She's found a way to be authentically herself, embracing her career choices and need for independence while building stability. This balance extends to handling jealousy and boundaries in their work, navigating the complex emotional landscape of relationships in their industry. Asa's relationship with her body reveals the complex interplay between self-image, sexuality, and industry pressures. 3 days before a major scene with 8 men, she lies on a massage table with leeches sucking her blood to heal bruises from a fat-freezing procedure, symbolizing her battle with body image. Before adult entertainment, she felt comfortable at 130 pounds, But seeing herself on screen repeatedly led to body dysmorphia and an addiction to cosmetic procedures. Asa also shares her journey with genital self-perception. At 6, after seeing her cousin's vagina looking different from her own, she began secretly comparing herself to other girls. In middle school, she mistakenly believed her anatomy was undeveloped male genitalia. Only through working in adult films, examining diverse bodies daily, did she realize hers was completely normal. This evolution from shame to acceptance illustrates how deeply cultural messages about female sexuality can damage self-perception, causing women to pathologize their natural bodies and desires. Asa's memoir explores society's contradictory gender expectations. Her first encounter with judgment came in 5th grade after an innocent playground kiss, escalating by 9th grade through dating experiences. Initially perceiving attention as positive distinction, a relationship at 15 revealed its negative implications when her partner repeatedly criticized her past. This societal judgment pattern followed her into adulthood. After an intimate encounter with 2 male friends, she noticed how men's similar experiences are celebrated while women face harsh criticism. Asa embraces her femininity, yet envies men's freedom from social scrutiny regarding intimacy. This realization influenced her career path, deciding to monetize judgment she would face regardless. She challenges the classification of behaviors as inherently masculine or feminine, questioning why society accepts male desire while condemning the same in women. By refusing to apologize for her choices or conform to expectations, she confronts fundamental assumptions about gender roles and personal autonomy. As Asa approaches 30, she struggles to integrate the various facets of her identity: daughter, wife, performer, writer, potential mother. Visiting her friend Maya and newborn son Kai triggers conflicting emotions. When offered to hold Kai, Asa feels desire, fear, and guilt. Days earlier, she'd been in a blowjob cage for work. Does she deserve to hold this innocent child? She watches Maya mother with natural ease, but can't imagine herself doing the same. Flying home, she feels certain she'll never have children, having done too much and been seen by too many. Yet, she keeps the photo of herself with Kai. This ambivalence mirrors her complicated parental relationship. Unlike her friend's deliberate coming out, Asa avoided telling her parents about entering adult entertainment. 6 months in, her mother discovered it accidentally and was devastated, while her father simply asked if she was happy. 8 years later, their relationship has healed, though they still don't discuss her work in detail. Turning 30 with quiet morning croissants, Asa seems determined to define success on her own terms, whether continuing in the industry, focusing on writing, or exploring motherhood. Her journey shows that finding meaning requires embracing our complexities and contradictions.